I know that our next guest, Seth Everett, a baseball insider, Sports with Friends, if you haven't heard it, you're missing out. The guy gets published by like really smart people too, and he joins us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. I know you understand the economics of baseball. I know you do. I've heard you speak about it at length. So, Seth, when I hear Justin Verlander tell me that the system is broken, what do you say?
Well, it's Armageddon. That's what that is. Good to talk to you, John. I said last summer when I talked to you, I think the sport is in a genuine crisis. And so many baseball people looked at me, and I got a lot of feedback on Twitter and texts, and people said, that's too much. It's too much of an alarmist. And I said, okay, let's see how the offseason goes. And so we'll talk about it then. And I'll just tell you, 10 days ago, I had a meeting with the Players Association about a documentary I'm working on, which I'd love to come on once I get a green light.
Sure.
Promote it. And I had a meeting because I want the backing of the union and I need some of their access. So we had this meeting. It wasn't like an investigation where I was trying to figure out their stance, but obviously it came up. Do you know that they've taken this year's licensing money and held it from the players to form a strike fund?
I heard that. A little bit of a, I guess, an insurance policy? Would that be?
Well, it's not, but it's not really insurance, because what's happening is the system has completely changed. And no longer will you see the Albert Pujols contract, or at least that's what the ownership wants. And the players just want the system to stay the way it currently is. And I think it's one of those immovable objects against an irresistible force. And I think they're headed for a labor stoppage. I think that's headed, because this is not as simple as let's see what Gary Bettman's salary cap is. This is, they have a fundamental difference in the way this sport is being handled. And I think the league wants to have shorter term deals. I think they want to have term limits. I think they want to have a structure where free agents have to be signed by a certain day. And I think because you have 100 unsigned free agents, the union then comes back with vitriol.
I'm trying to understand. You're going to tell me, if you're a Major League Baseball player, how to run my business, what I have to pay you individually. If you want to say there's a salary cap or something like that, that's fine. When I hear a guy like Verlander, he actually is advocating for baseball teams to pay stupid contracts like we're paid to Albert Pujols, and thinks that they have a right to demand that. I'm laughing at what other industry he believes that exists in.
But the problem was baseball made its own bed. You know, this is what baseball
And they're
was.
Fixing it, and, now, right?
Well, they're trying to correct itself.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think it's directly tied into the product on the field. You know, what I would say to Justin Verlander, is the sport broken when you have 11,000 less balls hit in play? Is the sport broken when you have 3 minutes and 49 seconds between balls hit in play? What defines the sport broken? Only when millionaire players don't get 10-year deals? I just think the criteria has to be established, and I think that this offseason has been a direct correlation to the situation that we had in 2018 with the product on the field.
Do you think if Machado or Harper was offered a 10-year deal with no out, and they made no demands to have an out, which I'm reading from a bunch of different sources, that's what they've wanted. They also want an out in the contract. So in other words, commit to me for 10 years, but I want the option to walk out the door at a certain point. Do you believe if it was just a flat 10-year deal, Harper or Machado would be signed already?
No, because that's what the Nationals offered. Nationals offered 10 years at 300. And the way, you know, you hear, and again, I'm not presuming to be in the negotiating between the Phillies or the Giants and Harper. Let's just use Harper as an example. He thought he would get north of $300 million. And when the Nationals offered 10 years at $300, a lot of people thought it was window dressing. They thought it was just a method to show the fan base, hey, we tried. You know, but he didn't want to be here. You know, kind of save their PR with their fan base. I thought that if the Nationals were very serious about offering something, they would have put an opt-out in there. CeCe Sabathia is one of the guys who gets a lot of credit for that, because his insistence on an opt-out helped him a great deal, even though he wound up staying with the Yankees, if you remember when he opted out.
Right.
You know, these contracts have existed for a while, and there's been this mentality of, John, you and I have had this conversation 5 years ago when we say, how do you reward a player for his past services? When can we have a system where we reward players for what they're going to do right now? And that's happening. You know, Madison Bumgarner came out and was adamant. He said that if I find out that someone is opening a game, I'm walking out of the ballpark. There are 10 teams that are planning on using that in their regular rotation. They have to recognize that the sign of the times is what it is. And they either have to adapt, like the sport is trying to adapt, or they're not going to be a part of it.
I am trying to figure out whether, right now, looking at things, I keep hearing in the National League East, Nationals are improved. Phillies are improving. Braves have improved, they believe, with Donaldson. When you look at the National League East, could this be the best division in baseball?
It could be, but there's so many factors. Because if Harper or Machado signs with the Phillies, that changes the balance of power. I think Kimbrel is a big part of this. If Craig Kimbrel signs a two-year deal to go back to Atlanta, I think that changes the whole dynamic, and you know that makes the Braves the favorite again. So I think there's a lot of talent there. My attitude has always been, whenever you have this many impact free agents, I want to see what some of these guys sign. If Dallas Keuchel signs in the division, that makes him even more talented. I just think that a lot of what has happened in the divisions has been very hard to prognosticate. Because we're not talking about fringe players. We're not talking about fifth starters. We're talking about dominant closers. We're talking about dominant outfielders. And those guys don't have teams yet.
It's a. Is there a team that you think right now no one else is talking about, but you're going to be talking about them with me right now? You're going to tell me about them right now, and I'm going to get intrigued about their chances to be playing deep into October? Or does it look like just the favorites that are already in the mix?
I played that trick 10 years ago because I said the Tampa Bay Rays were going to be that team in the World Series. So I have a lot to live up to.
I love that.
One of the teams that I'm interested in, or at least from a perspective of,
sure.
I think they're going to be competitive, the Colorado Rockies. I think the Rockies got better, and I think that their franchise has been very encouraged by the fact that Nolan Arenado is thinking about a long-term deal with them. And Bud Black has worked wonders with that pitching staff because on paper they don't look great. But I think the Colorado Rockies are a factor. Now, tell me Bryce Harper signs with the Giants. That changes everything. Arizona is going to be another factor. I'm not as high on the Dodgers, I'll be perfectly honest with you. If I had to pick a team just to circle on the calendar, again, we haven't even hit March yet.
Sure.
But I'd say the Rockies.
I'm heading to Braves camp today, getting on the big silver bird and heading down for a week of shows, so I'm looking forward to seeing what the Braves have cooking. And what do you got going on in the podcast right now? I mean, and you also, you have multiple podcasts, so is there anything you want to plug to tell the people to be looking out for?
Oh, thank you. Well, I interviewed I had Ken Griffey Jr. on 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I heard it.
That was a really fun conversation, about a 50-minute conversation with Jr., about a lot of what we were just talking about in this segment. So that was pretty fun. Maury Brown, one of my coworkers at Forbes, he and I debated the business side of baseball and some of the things that we were talking about. That was on one of the episodes. So yeah, we've had a lot of fun episodes. Also, my old friend LaTroy Hawkins is on.
Wow.
Hawkins, the longtime pitcher, he's the godfather of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
And I found out, John, you'll like this, that I met Patrick Mahomes when he was 6 years old at Minnesota Twins camp. I didn't remember it, but apparently I've already met the outstanding Chiefs quarterback. And then on the Hall of Justice podcast, we've done a lot of fun things. We had the interview with Jerry O'Connell, Rebecca Romijn, Patrick Fabian, the lawyer from Better Call Saul. A lot of really fun guests.
Checking on out.
Voice acting. Yeah, and I appreciate it.
And last July, I got to have a burger in the Atlanta airport with Steve Forbes, and it was one of the greatest.
Oh, yeah.
I loved getting to meet Steve Forbes. So great. Check out Seth Everett. Follow him on Twitter. Get in touch with the podcast. You'll enjoy it. Thanks, Seth. We'll talk again soon.
You got it, John. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.